Right now it is time for our visit with our good friends at theberkshireedge.com. That's where you can find them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We welcome in once again Marcy and David. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just fine, even though I walked out with a little bit of snow on the ground, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
It's been
warm, it's about 70 degrees up here. What's going on down there in Connecticut?
All right. Well, let's get to some of the stories that we like to highlight you'll find at theberkshireedge.com. We lead off with two South Berkshire school districts, Monument Mountain and Great Barrington, in the Southern Berkshire Regional School District, they've received a grant from the state.
They have. This has been a long-term effort and discussion for many years about merging the two school districts, they're in a way rivals on the athletic field, for example, and but they finally come to the conclusion that perhaps it would be better to have one unified school district for Southern Berkshire County, and that's what they're seriously going about figuring out how to do, and they have a grant from the state to move that along. It's been a long, they're rivals actually, and as with lots of organizations and institutions, they treasure their independence from one another, but the time has come when they're just not enough students in each of the districts, especially the Southern Berkshire District, that to sustain a regional school district.
So what are they going to do, play against each other? They're going to divide?
No, they're not. They're going to have to merge somehow. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes along with it that people don't realize when you're talking about bringing school districts together and merging them. Exactly that. You've got, former opponents on the field, there's a lot. They're going to use every bit of that $125,000 to try to figure it out.
Well, not only that, they have, school committee members. There's only going to be, in a merged district, there'll only be one school committee.
Yeah.
But they've talked about this for many...
Oh, years.
Many years.
Yeah.
In any case, they'll try to figure out how to combine this district, and it may be some kind of different kind of model than they've used, hybrid model. School committees are going to explore this. It is the Southern Berkshire School District, and Monument Mountain includes Stockbridge and Great Barrington, and Southern Berkshire is Sheffield and towns
and
New Marlborough and towns near the Connecticut border. So it's quite to have a merged district. It would be quite a large. It would be a large geographic entity, and you have to think about
busing
and the kids having a very long bus ride in the morning to get to school.
Yeah.
So that's come up before when other of the districts have considered closing one of their elementary schools. Quaint and as they are, they've had to close several schools that only had a few students in them. So.
And the other problem is that this money, this is a grant under the State Department's Department of School Reorganization, the School Reorganization Program, and it has to be spent by June 6th, June 30th, rather, sorry, so that they have to do something quickly to accept this money. And they got a $50,000 grant a couple of years ago in 2019 in order to complete phase one of this work. So they presumably have been, you know, with that original $50,000 grant, have been working on this since 2019. But they have to complete it by June 30th, so that's not very far away.
All right. I'll move on to your next story, because when I received the press release from Tanglewood, even though it came with a pretty big headline when you read into it, it's still a question mark. But when I posted it on our social media pages, almost 3,000 people looked at it, because everybody wants to see Tanglewood open up this season.
Yeah.
Everybody. You know, like I said, when I first saw the top of the press release, I felt really good about it. But then getting down into it, it's, you know, it's still a sticky wicket.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
as our writer says, you know, time to get your hopes up, but not necessarily to be sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, Tanglewood, you know, draws so many people to the Berkshires that, you know, they kind of they're kind of the key factor in whether there's going to be a whether other organizations would open, you know, and during this pandemic. But the BSO is going to try to have a kind of, as I say, a kind of hybrid situation here. Some kind, as our writer David Edwards says, it's some kind of Tanglewood season.
Yeah, but
they're just not making it clear exactly yet what it's going to be.
And they apparently will later this month. They're waiting till their board of trustees approves the details later this month.
Yeah.
But you know, they are ordinarily local schools have graduation events at Tanglewood. That's not going to happen this year. The traditional June popular artist concerts is not happening this year. But Mr. Volpe, who, you know, is the outgoing leader of the outgoing director of the orchestra, says that it's too soon to count out James Taylor on July 4th. So apparently they're going to try to go ahead with July, you know, by July 4th. And the orchestra, you know, has not played before a live audience for over a year. So I think, you know, although they have done video concerts,
which you can
in an
stream.
Empty orchestra hall.
So
I think the players are, you know, chomping at the bit too.
But you not only talk about Tanglewood, but on the other theater, you've got two other theaters, Barrington Stage and also Wham in Pittsfield.
And also Berkshire Theater Festival.
Yeah.
Right. All trying to, I mean, they've all announced very, you know, limited seasons, but they are doing things this summer. You know, I think intense. With small audiences and small casts.
Yeah, for example, the Barrington Stage has its annual 10th annual 10x10 play festival, which is ten plays in 10 minutes. They're all 10 minute plays.
Well, it's funny.
It's
really wonderful, actually.
Yeah.
It's funny because Sharon Playhouse is doing that this summer as well.
Yeah.
10x10, are they doing 10-minute plays?
Yeah, 10-minute plays. 10 10-minute plays, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're just delightful, but they're going to try to pull this off as well. So everything has been, you know, everyone is scrambling to make some kind of season happen, but given the complications of the COVID pandemic, and it means a lot to the Berkshires. I mean, this is, you know, the Berkshires, in a way, the economy here relies upon an active summer season to get through the winter. You know,
we're
like squirrels collecting
acorns
during the summer.
Well, no, it's that same way with the restaurants. The two major,
exactly.
You know, and they've been, you know, and you look at movie theaters as well. I mean, those are three parts of our local economy that have just literally been crushed.
Well, and you look at the Mahaley Theater in Great Barrington, too. Yeah. I mean, besides movie theaters, I mean, that has been a center of cultural life in, you know, in South County for, you know, the 10 years since its renovation. And they're not open either.
Yeah.
And they, I suspect they're, I mean, I have indication from them that they are not likely to be open this summer, although they are going to do their drive-in movies that they did last year. But, you know, they're afraid that people won't come in, even if they opened. You know, will people come inside so soon? So Tanglewood has the advantage that they're outside.
Yeah. Well, we do have, we focus a little bit on Wham Theater, the Wham Theater organization, which is, you know, moving forward, too, with its season, and up in Pittsfield. And so they're at least considering, they have one play that they're going to put on is Letters to Kamala.
Is that Kamala Harris?
Kamala Harris,
yeah.
Yes. And so she's, Kristen Van Ginhoven is the art, is the producing director, and they're trying to put their season, some kind of season together. So I think we all have to stay tuned and see just what, you know, is going to be able to be put on this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they're all these places are just dying to, you know, I mean, they need the money for one thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I mean, I think that people were very generous last year. You know, I think that people realized what they were missing and they were very generous. But I think everybody's afraid to count on that same generosity this year. You know, it's gone on, it's no longer new. So they really have to get out there and perform and, you know, and sell tickets. Even though the tickets, you know, are only usually for a nonprofit organization are like 25% of revenue, they still depend on the generosity of donors. But you got to keep yourself in front of the public.
Well, Wham Theater is doing an interesting season. They're focusing on the racial, as the artistic director Talia Kingston puts it, a lot of racial reckonings that have happened this year.
Right.
And so they're having plays that focus on that.
And they also are, you know, they are dedicated, I mean, Wham is really about women, writers, women, plays about women. So they have a particular niche.
Yep. Oh.
All right, I want to move on to your next story. We only have about 6 minutes left. We got a couple more stories we want to go on to, and that is the Flying Church.
Oh, yes.
The Flying Church. Oh, my gosh.
Well,
it's aptly named.
it's not its official name, although I think the owner is now sort of adopting its official name. But this was a church on Main Street in Great Barrington that the developer bought, and then he raised it up. He raised it up a story so that he could build a floor underneath for retail, and the upper story is, you know, more a performance space and possibly a restaurant. But he started it in about 2018, and then he got sick, and then COVID started, and so it was, this church was up on these pillars for a much longer time than expected, so people started to call it the Flying Church.
Yes, it was reaching for heaven, and would take off at any moment.
But actually, the building is completed, and it's really beautiful. You know, it's a very attractive building with a steeple on top. And next to it, on the same land, he's built a little one-story building, which is going to be a coffee shop, and it's very, you know, it's very cute. It's got scalloped windows.
Yes, it's a little complex right off Main Street in downtown.
Right on Main Street.
On Main Street,
right. And also down, you know, on the end of Main Street that was less developed. So it's you know, there are there were almost two parts of Main Street. There was the one, the southern part and the northern part, and this is the northern part of Main Street, which now has a complex of stores on its own. So I think Main Street is going to be much extended.
All
which
right.
Is great.
Yeah. You've got a good news story here, and that is the Bags of Hope.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. It's a group of high school students who started organizing these donations for the St. Joseph Shelter. And it's, you know, it's a sweet story about these kids who just took charge of this idea and executed it beautifully.
Yeah, and they're from all over the county, so it's really interesting. In fact, one of them is a girl named Keely O'Gorman, whom we know actually.
And her mother, Rachel O'Gorman, writes reviews, audio book reviews
for us. Yeah,
it's
her daughter.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's one last story though that I'd like to touch on, which is, you know, there is this so-called there's a movement now called Change Berkshire Culture. We mentioned it once before, where the employees of cultural organizations have sort of banded together on a Facebook page to complain about their rate of pay and the stress of the work and the, you know, the overpaid and overworked and underpaid. And so Sheila Clary, who's a very interesting writer of ours, has done is doing a series on the cultural economy and whether it's fair to its employees. And this time she looks at workers at Math Mocha as an example. So that's a very interesting story. I mean, it's a three-part series, David?
Yeah, three-part. Yeah. This is the second part. And she calls it the Change Berkshire Culture.
Right.
But so many of the workers in these cultural organizations are working for minimum wage. And, you know, it's a stunning look at the actual workings of the so-called cultural economy, which you know, people here in the Berkshires have been so proud of, and it's such an attraction. But on the other hand, the actual employees of these cultural organizations are just not making much of a living. So it's a stunning look at this.
And it's
what the real economy of the cultural economy is about.
You know, people are willing to work for nonprofits for less money, but what happens when you run into a situation like we've been in, where the nonprofits basically cease having any income, even their grants go down over the course of a year, the first ones that are going to get hurt are the employees, and the first employees that are going to get hurt are the ones that are not in significant big positions and do work for a lower salary.
Yeah.
It's
right.
You know, it's
well, and you know, the employees who do the work when the work needs to be done, but this year it doesn't need to be done, so they're very vulnerable. There was an article, I think it was in the Times the other day, about the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra. You know, they're in a big labor dispute now because they haven't worked. I mean, these people haven't worked in a year, and they haven't been paid in a year. And now the Metropolitan Opera wants, you know, is saying, we'll pay you now if you'll take less. And they're saying, no, we can't afford it. You know, we've been out of work for a year, and now you want us to, you know, take less going forward. And so, you know, it is a big problem.
Well, it's one of those things that, as I was saying earlier, we only have about a few seconds left, but coming out of the pandemic doesn't end. You will slowly evolve. The pandemic will be around. The COVID-19 and all the variants are going to be around for years. So we'll slowly evolve out of it. And the people that are affected the most are the people that have lost jobs, and it's really hard to see, to predict when they'll get those jobs back.
Right.
Well, the most important, this is what's really interesting about this story, is that this is based on the fact that mass MoCA's workers are trying to unionize.
Yeah, with the AFL-CIO, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
It'll be interesting, because if they do, that's going to send shudders through the nonprofit universe.
It sure is. Right.
Certainly is. Because
I can tell you right now, we can't pay union wages, okay?
No.
We don't pay ourselves, as a matter of fact.
No, well, we are in the
same position. Yeah. Are you going to unionize down there on the radio station?
You and Jill?
Probably have to. All right, well,
David and I are forming a union of the non-union of the non-paid.
That's what I was going to say, the non-paid union. All right, guys. Well, okay. Once again, theberkshireedge.com is the website, and we'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take
Bye.
Care. That is the Berkshire Edge on air here on Robinhood Radio. And once again, you'll find them at theberkshireedge.com.